The economic recession tied to the COVID-19 pandemic has squeezed all workers, especially those who are close to retirement. In some cases, seniors have had to delay their retirement out of economic fear. Others were forced into retirement earlier than they planned or were ready for. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What impact did COVID-19 have on your retirement plans? What questions do you have about the state of retirement and savings? Are you worried that your retirement, at least the way you were planning it, could be in jeopardy or that you won't be able to retire because of a hit you took maybe over the last year? That call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Teresa Ghilarducci is a nationally recognized expert on labor and retirement security. She's currently a visiting scholar in the economics department at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Her books include How to Retire with Enough Money and How to Know What Enough Is and Rescuing Retirement, a plan to guarantee retirement security for all Americans. Teresa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, hi. Really great to meet you and be talking to you today about this.
People, I don't think, have thought of COVID-19 as a retirement story. You wrote recently that it very much is. Mm-hmm. What kind of things are you seeing, Teresa, when it comes to the economic hit that people have taken and how it's affecting their retirement plans?
Yeah, sure. The reason why it's a retirement story is scale. There are so many people who are in that cohort that are reaching retirement age. You know, think the middle to late baby boomers. There are about 37 million people who are in their 50s and early 60s. The generation behind that group is, you know, much smaller, about 20 million. In the next 10 years, the over half of the jobs that are expected to be created will be filled by people over 55. So what's ever going on in the labor market is a story about older people. And when you think about people in their 60s, you're thinking about their retirement plan. So let me tell you what happened. 2.7 million older people who are like between 57 and 63 were laid off. And all the evidence shows that they were pushed out because of the jobs that they were in were shut down during the shutdown, or they were permanently kind of pushed out because their employers saw the recession as a once in a lifetime chance to get rid of older workers, you know, without suspicion of age discrimination. So for whatever the reason that they're out of the labor force or were given fewer hours, the upshot of that is going to be retirement decisions, pension decisions, or securities decisions that will affect their entire lives and probably bring down their living standards by a notch. Please don't let me stop talking to you without saying some bright spots, but that's the depressing news.
Okay, let's have a bright spot. That sounds bad, but what are the bright spots, Teresa, that you see out there?
Right. Okay, thank you. I think the issue is getting attention. You know, you're having this show. The specter of so many middle-class older people becoming poor or near-poor retirees, you know, is getting lots of attention. And we have, we have a president and a vice president and a Congress that are really oriented towards helping people in the more vulnerable, you know, sections of society. And I don't mean just the very poor, I mean like middle class workers whose pensions have become a lot less secure and whose employers are a lot less sensitive to their needs. So here are the bright spots. For one, the infrastructure bill, the big federal proposal to spend, you know, $2 trillion on infrastructure is really paying attention to a group of workers called home health care workers or care workers, and they are disproportionately older women. Older women take care of even older women in this country. And that that provision says that these jobs should pay minimum wage, minimum wage at a minimum wage of $15 per hour. And they might even be more open to unionization. And that's always good for people's retirement security. A little more money to save And union contracts will usually bring, you know, together, will bring a pension. I think there's going to be a lot of attention paid to raising Social Security benefits. You know, we only need to expand taxes for the very high income workers, like, you know, like me. I could pay my Social Security tax and not even sort of know it, you know, more Social Security tax. And if all of us who made above $100,000 paid more in Social Security tax, we could eliminate elder poverty in this country. There are a lot of moves state by state to require paid sick leave. And that turns out that really helps older people. It would have helped in this last time because older people were really afraid of their health, and also they lived with people who needed their help. So having paid sick leave, you know, could have prevented that nursing home worker from going to work when she had a bit of a fever, you know, and kind of denied that, you know, the early symptoms of COVID. I think there's some ideas to really fix the structural flaws in our pension system out there. So there's a lot of reasons to hope. One more thing that was in the CARES bill that was passed was that there was a expansion of the earned income tax credit. I don't know if you or your listeners have heard about the earned income tax credit, but it's a subsidy from the government for low-income workers. But if you didn't have a family, you usually weren't really qualified for significant benefits. But the CARES Act expanded that to childless workers and to workers over 65. So if people are still working, they should get more money for that. So there's some bright spots.
We're talking to Teresa Ghilarducci, professor of economics at the New School in New York, looking at retirement and how COVID-19 and the economic hit we took is affecting retirement for a lot of people. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions or maybe your experiences. Did you leave the workforce earlier than planned, or are you going to have to stay in it later than you planned? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Teresa, you mentioned structural problems in our pension system. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there listening saying, what's a pension? What problems do you see in the way we try to fund retirement these days?
Yeah, well, if your listeners are like normal Americans, half of people don't have a pension. They don't have a pension at work. They're federal employees and people who work, you know, for state and local government, they have a pension. They have a plan where they and their employer put in money. And when they retire, they will have a pension for the rest of their lives. The other people, the other part of the half that have something, have a 401k plan. But for most people, I mean, the average worker, that 401k plan at age 60 is only worth about $60,000. But all of us have a pension plan called Social Security. And that is the pension plan that we really should pay attention to. So for all the listeners out there who have been forced to retire or forced to think about retiring, I really want to talk about strategies about claiming your Social Security benefits, because you can claim them as early as 62, but only under some circumstance does that really make sense.
Do you see some fixes out there? I know you've written, for example, about taking a savings program that's used by federal employees and making it available to more folks. Mm-hmm. What kind of thing are you looking at there?
All right. Oh, great. I'm so glad that you have been paying attention to that. Well, I have been a soldier, you know, for the idea that everybody should have a pension. And I, as I said, only half of workers today have a pension plan at work. So here's my idea. And I'll tell you who my strange partner is on this idea. My idea is that the thrift savings plan that all federal workers have and people in the military have should be open to all Americans. And low-income Americans should have their contributions from the federal government until wages go up or minimum wage goes up. So what the Thrift Savings Plan does, or TSP for short, is provides about 5 to 10% from the employer, that's the federal government, and the workers put in 5% or more, and it's the funds are put into really well-selected mutual funds, you know, stocks and bonds, and the money is put in stocks and bonds according to how old the worker is. So if you're younger, you have more stocks. If you're older, you have more bonds. It also offers a guaranteed account. So you put the money in and you'll get 2 or 3 or 4%, depending upon what the market is doing that year. And it's a guaranteed rate, which most people, especially when they're older, want to make sure they know that they'll have. It's well managed. They pay 0.5%, you know, for fees. Whereas if you're in the commercial market, the private for-profit world, you're really fleeced by investment management fees. And then when you are done with your career job, the money will be distributed to you in an orderly way, you know, for the rest of your life. And that could supplement your Social Security. And I just asked the question, if it's so good for federal employees and members of Congress and the congressional staff, and if you work in the White House, why isn't it good for all Americans? So it's pretty simple. It's like a lot simpler than Medicare for all or, you know, healthcare plans for all, because it really is just putting money in early, making sure it's well taken care of and invested well while you're putting it in, and then distributing it when people are old in an easy, safe way. And my partner in this plan is former President Trump's chief economic advisor, who comes at it from a capitalist point of view. But his point is that there's half of Americans that don't have economic security, there's not going to be support for capitalism. You know, and if Americans don't have capital, then we don't have a capitalist system. So whatever his motive to make sure that the poor have something, some stake in the system, or my motive that I want all workers to be well treated at the end of their lives, we've come together with this plan. And now we're talking to members of Congress about it.
We're picking up our talk now about the state of retirement amid COVID-19. Teresa Ghilarducci is with us, labor and retirement security expert, professor of economics at the New School in New York. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you at or near retirement age? How are your plans going? Were they shaken up over the last year, or did you hold steady? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to your calls now. Dave is with us in Augusta. Dave, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, Rob. I totally agree with everything your guest says. I've been thinking about retirement now for about 45 years. And when I was furloughed last year during the pandemic for 8 weeks, I got a real good taste of what it would be like, and I couldn't wait. So I've had previous employers who I had pensions with, and I totaled those up, and I cut my spending. I paid off the farm, and I took the leap. I did, and I don't regret it at all. I do not regret it at all, Rob.
And Dave, before I let you go, I mean, do you feel financially ready? You said you cut your expenses. Is that going to be enough?
Yeah, I believe it is. I hired a financial advisor, which I recommend all of your guests do, or all of your listeners do. Very little money spent on that, and it really pays for itself in the long run. So, yeah, I felt like I made the right choice. I do.
Dave, I'm glad to hear it. Enjoy retirement. I hope you have more time to listen to us here and call in now. Teresa, one of the bright spots you were talking about earlier, and one thing Dave said is key, he went out and sought help. He put a lot of thought into his retirement, it sounds like, and I'm guessing not everybody does that, Teresa.
Oh, no, they don't, and they have good reason. They usually are approached by financial advisors that are self-interested predators. Some of them are very nice, you know, but they're working for their investment firms. They're not working for you. So I hope that Dave, it sounded like he did, he got what's called a non-conflicted advisor. For a lot of people that will pay, it'll be several hundred dollars. If you're in New York and Manhattan, it might cost up to $1,000. But it's like a session with a good lawyer. They're a lot cheaper and a lot better than lawyers, but it's like a professional who will look at your entire wealth portfolio,
They'll look at your what you have in your house. They'll ask you about what kind of obligations you have. They'll go over your budget. They'll give you a little bit of homework. But when you have that session or another session, you will come out of that in control of your life. And so it sounds like what Dave did was consolidate the worth of all of his assets. One asset was his farm, so he sold that. For a lot of people, it might be their too big of a house, and they will be able to sell that. They might be able to get a reverse mortgage, or they might be talked out of it because the products aren't very good. They will understand their obligation, you know, to their spouse or to their adult children, and they'll be able to set their life course. I'm so worried that that kind of advice is just not available as a matter of course, and that a lot of people get recommended to an advisor by their friends or their family, and those are the worst people to ask advice from because they just repeat, you know, bad information. So, yes, most people don't have access to professional management, and we Americans are in a very unusual situation compared to the rest of people who live in rich nations. Is that we have to manage our money, you know, in a way that, and our retirement in a way that nobody really has to. We have to take into account healthcare costs, you know, and other kinds of things that are insured elsewhere. I would love to have talked to Dave, you know, for another couple of minutes, but I would want to know what he did about his Social Security. Did he also collect Social Security earlier? So anyway, bottom line, you asked me a very straightforward question. I gave you a long answer.
That's okay.
Bottom line is, yeah, is everybody should get a non-conflicted fee-only financial advisor when they're approaching their 60s or when they approach this decision to retire.
Thanks a lot for that call. Time for one more caller. John is with us in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi. I just kind of had a point that I noticed with the recovery. And it really kind of boils down to, it looks like to me, the economy really is having that K-shaped recovery. And really, the K is split by people that are more wage earners are seem to be struggling. And the people that are asset owners are the ones that are really seeing price appreciation and the like, right? So I just really question the whole narrative of, like, you know, the manipulation that we did to recover from the pandemic seems like it basically got stuffed into the people that were kind of already achieving monopoly, right? So,
John, thanks a lot for the call. Teresa, do you want to take our last couple of minutes to tackle that?
Yeah, sure. Tom, you are so right. The recovery, the so-called recovery, was K-shaped, which means that if you were on the upper part of the letter K, your stock values went up, your home values went up, and if you were able to work from home, you kept your job. People on the lower part of the K lost their jobs. They might have gotten sick themselves. They had no paid sick leave, and they didn't have any money in the stock market. I mean, that's the upshot of not having a pension plan, is that you don't have, you know, any capital. So what I see in the CARES Act, and that's a bright spot, and what I see in the infrastructure bill is a way to get our country back on its feet for sure by shoring up parts of, you know, the public goods that needed to be there, make the healthcare system much more prepared for the next one, fix our roads and bridges, make sure our care economy is a lot stronger. But we also saw, you know, $2,000 sent to families who probably lost their job or haven't had a pay raise in 30 years. We didn't see the minimum wage go up, and that's really a shame. We're really overdue for that. But there are a lot of policies just right on the drawing board that will help make that K shape more, more J shape. That we come up like the U of the J, and we kind of stay there. So the market is not going to fix that inequality all by itself. We're going to need to have really smart economic policy to do that.
Thanks a lot for that call, and we'll leave it there. Teresa, thanks again for joining us.
Okay, thank you. Really good to talk to you.
That's Teresa Ghilarducci, nationally recognized expert on labor and retirement security, professor of economics at the New School in New York. She joins us today for a look at the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on retirement for people around the country.